Very familiar passage, John chapter 14, verse number 6. John 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this privilege and opportunity to meet together with your people, your house, Lord, to worship you. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us at this time. Help us with your word. Help us, Father, with the infirmity of the flesh. And Lord, just speak through me, Lord, to us, and just take me out of the way. Give utterance to your word, Father, and give us open hearts, receptive hearts, and open ears and eyes, Lord, to see and hear those things that you have for us. And Lord, that we not only hear it, but Father, we'd believe you and trust you and follow you in those things that you've given to us this morning. We pray for those not saved. We pray, Father, that you would work in them. Lord, that as you command, that they'd come to you in repentance and faith. And Lord, you'd work in them as you only can. We pray that you'd bless and save sinners, Father, this morning. We know that you can. We pray that you would. Father, for we that are saved, Lord, help us that we might see that we need to just walk with you. And Lord, that we, as we needed you in salvation and you saved us, Lord, we need you in living and life. And we pray, Father, you just help us to see that this morning. Forgive us for our sins and bless us. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 14, verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A very familiar passage, a passage I trust that at times you quote to folks and tell folks about salvation and about their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is these things. Well, we want to take a look at the context of the passage. We want to take a look at the context of this verse and see what it is, and the Lord speak to our hearts through that. Here in this chapter 14, of course, it's after chapter 13, right? And chapter 13 is the time there before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he's partaking of the Passover with his disciples in that upper room, and then he institutes the Lord's Supper. And then in this particular passage, it tells about him washing the disciples' feet, and how it is that we need to be servants one of another. We need to be considerate, kind, compassionate, forgiving one of another, to not esteem another or to esteem our brothers and sisters better than ourselves. All those things being taught there. And the order and the economy that the Lord's given in his church. Yes, there is a pastor, but the pastor is taken from among the sheep. And we as sheep, none of us are more important than the other. Even if we think so, we're not. But we are the sheep of the Lord's pasture, his tillage, if you will, his husbandry, and the Lord himself girding himself and washing his own disciples' feet. You know, my idea is no better than yours. Your idea is no better than mine. And your all's ideas are no better than one another's ideas. But you know the idea that needs to be preeminent in everything we say, do, and think is what the Lord says. What the Lord says. And yes, we have things that we engage in and that we do in the church, and we need to seek the Lord's will in that. And we have that. That way of operating here is in his scripture. The Lord may not tell us a particular or give us the answer of a particular thing to do, how much to give a particular missionary or a brother or sister in need and those things, but he does tell us to do it, and he does tell us how to go about doing it. And so much the attitude and the spirit in which that it is. And so the Lord does that here in washing his disciples' feet. And then he tells about how it is that one of them is going to betray him. And then he gives a new commandment here in verse number 34. A new commandment I give unto you in chapter 13, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And of course, the love that the Lord's talking about is not a love of the lips, but is a love with feet on it and the feet to action. And so he goes on here in chapter 14, verse number 1, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. There, the Lord has spoken to them about him going to give himself as a sacrifice. And frankly, when he says that to them, they just do not understand. He's talking about going away from them, this action, this thing that he's done. It seems the tenor of that which he's done there at the Passover and instituting the Lord's Supper, and then Judas going out to betray him and those things. It's giving a tenor that he's going away. And they're picking up on that. They're seeing that. They don't understand it completely. But they're getting a feel or a vibe, if you will, of it. And he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And that's the point of it all. That's the point of everything, is that it's all about Jesus. When it comes down to you and Jesus Christ, your soul, your life, your existence, how is it that Jesus Christ is relative to it? I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm talking about you and Jesus. You and Jesus. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled. Don't be alarmed. He goes on here in verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. Of this same chapter, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The world tries to give peace. And mankind, men, women, boys, and girls are looking for peace in the world. The Lord says, you need my peace. Mine, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many abodes, many grand places in which to live. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Our Savior has gone to prepare a place for His people. And He's doing that now. And we believe from the bearing out of the Scriptures that when He gets that done, and when the Father tells Him to come, He'll be coming back for us. But do you look forward, child of God, to that place that is being prepared by your Savior, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that place that's being prepared for you? Do you think about that place? We'll schedule a vacation. We'll schedule a trip. We'll plan to go to a family's house, or some of our kin, some of our friends, and take a trip somewhere. Do we meditate and we consider about that trip we're going to take one day that'll be the final trip? You that are here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, where are you going to go? What's the place of your abode? First Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. He says, don't be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, if I go to that effort, if I go to do that, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Because here's what I want, the Lord says. Here's the greatest thing that I look forward to, that where I am, there ye may be also. With the Lord. With the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking forward to that? Are you looking forward that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, is He coming for you? Do you think about it and study about it and rejoice in it, or does it make you afraid? Do you think about that mansion that He's built, that place of abode for eternity that He's making for you? That where I am, ye may be also. Verse 4, and whither I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. He says, we know the way. We know where He's going. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest. How can we know the way? But we don't, Lord, we don't know where You're going. If we don't know where You're going, how can we know the way? You know, the Scripture says in Proverbs that there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. You know, the whole thing about it all, this thing of God, this thing of faith in God, and knowing God and being saved, it's all in Jesus Christ. Oh, may we grab a hold of that. May we see that. Brother Jim, you're stating the obvious. You're saying it over. Oh, but do we really see that it's in Jesus Christ? Everything that we say, do, and think, everything that we do as a church, every way that we worship and that we seek to please the Lord, and it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Him. Listen to what he says. Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going. We don't know the way." Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way. I'm the truth. Thomas, I'm the life. You can't come. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's in me, Jesus says. It's in him. Has he saved your soul? Has his blood washed away your sins? Does he know you? And thereby you know him. Verse 7, "Thomas, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him." From now on, you're going to know the Father, Thomas. "From henceforth ye know him." And Thomas, "From henceforth, from now on, you will have seen him." Philip is listening on, and he says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. It sufficeth us. Lord, show us the Father. Show us God. And that'll do it. That'll make us solid in our hearts and mind about it all. That'll do the trick. It'll suffice us. What did he say at the beginning of the chapter? Let not your heart be troubled. I'll be saved. If you show us the Father, I won't be troubled. I won't be afraid. I'll be peaceful. Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Oh, to know Christ, to know more about Jesus. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. Have you not seen it, Philip? Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. You know I'm the way, the truth, and the life. How sayest then, show us the Father? Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen God. You've been visited by God. How was it that the Lord told his disciples to go out and preach, and the witness that they gave was, the kingdom of God is come unto you? The Lord, our Savior. Verse 9, have I not been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Don't you believe that, Philip? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but I've got this word, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I have been sent by him. What I say is from the Father. I am the Father's Son. I have come to do his bidding. And his bidding is relative to you and the salvation of your soul and the discipleship of you following me. I'm it. The Lord says, I am it. There's nowhere else to go but right here with me. Don't you believe that? Believest thou not? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Verse 11, believe me He says in verse 10, don't you believe? He says, believe me. And that's what he says to us this morning. You that are here this morning and not saved, believe him. Believe him. Don't try to wrestle with it, figure it out, do anything, offer anything, hold back because you're not right enough, good enough, prepared enough, got the right words to say. Believe in him. Believe in me, he says. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. His birth, his life, his ministry, his healing, the word of his mouth, and his sacrifice in the prime of his life, his sacrifice of himself for sinners. Believe me, the Lord Jesus Christ says. Believe me. I'm in the Father and the Father in me. And believe the work of my, the very work's sake. Believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I tell you what, that's a chunk full right there. What is it that the church does? We keep on heralding the word of the Lord Jesus Christ and his preaching, don't we? We preach and we teach that men are sinners. Men, women, boys, and girls are sinners, and they need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the only one. And then when the Lord saves them and they come forward, and they say, yes, God has saved me. Yes, the Lord has saved me. Yes, I want to identify with Christ. I want to follow him in baptism. I want to join his church. I want to tell me, what do I need to do to serve him? The church does that. We go on and we do that work of the Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. We preach, we teach, we baptize, we disciple. And we look to start other churches near and far. The work. We're in the work. The Lord has taken the means of those that he saved to go ahead and promote and propagate the work of the Lord. It's his work. Did any of us conjure it up? Did one of us one day get the idea that this would be a good thing to do? No, the Lord has told us to do it, and we do that. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He said, it's time for me to go. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We talked about prayer on Wednesday nights. We pray to the Father in the name of the Son and for his sake to operate, live, witness, and work in this calling that we've been called to, right? Isn't salvation a calling? It isn't a membership in one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches a calling? Shake your head up and down. It is. It's a calling. It's we've been called of God. It's not like joining the Kiwanis or the Lions Club or the JCs or that. It's a calling of the Lord. Called in to his service. He says, ask it in my name. I'll give it to you as you follow me, as you serve me. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. And who does the church belong to? The Son. The church is his body. And if we're doing right and we're serving him well and taking his word and applying it to living and life and witness and work for him, we glorify the Son, and that thereby glorifies the Father. Amen? Amen. That's the way that it works. Verse 14, and ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me. If you love me, because I loved you first, keep my commandments, obey me. If you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, the love of the Lord. Matthew chapter 22. Take a look over here real quick. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 37. Jesus saith unto him, said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Loving the Lord and loving our neighbor. And we talked about our neighbor last time. Turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Loving the Lord. You know what? And it's not just talking about loving him with our mouth, but loving him with our life. Loving him with everything. Seeking to do in everything we say, do, and think to be pleasing to him. That would be representative of him. If there's a thing that we do, a thing that we say, a place that we go, a way that we work, or a way that we entertain, or the way that we do anything, if Jesus would not do it, we should not. Amen? Yeah, that's right. If you can't take the Lord with you, we've already saw that he is, claimed to be saved, child of God, member of his church. The Lord's going with you. Should be desirous to be taking him with you. Because if you're saved, he's within. We go off and we do that which he would not do. We don't show our love for him, do we? Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, short verse with much, much to say. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. And those words, as I understand, that word anathema means accursed. Accursed. And that word maranatha means the Lord is coming. It's an exclamation of the approaching divine judgment of God. Let him be accursed. The Lord said it in another way in Matthew chapter 7. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Do I love the Lord because he first loved me? Back in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He says, I'm going away. But I'm going to be sending one. I'm going to be sending another, the Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive. That's the reason. That's the reason that the Word of God to those that are unsaved means nothing. The doctrine of the church, the way of ministry, the way of service to the Lord, it means nothing to the world because they're devoid of the Spirit of God. It takes life for the word of life and service to mean anything. Even the Spirit of Truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Lord here is telling about the giving of that comforter to the church, the Holy Spirit of God. I believe the Scripture bears out that when we're saved, the Spirit of God dwells within. It's been that way since Adam, I believe. But then there's a blessing in the church as Jesus walked and went in his ministry, in the day of his ministry on this earth, and he was physically with his church. When he went back to be with the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the work of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, and that work of the Comforter in his church. There's a blessing here, folks. Not in this building, but here meeting together with these people, us, brothers and sisters of Christ, that the Lord has saved and called unto salvation and called to be members in this church. Listen, we need to value it more than we do. We need to value it more than we do. We need to say, Brother Jim, I just don't seem like I learn anything. I tell you what, get to church. I don't seem like I understand how to take the Word of God and apply it. Get to church. Get to church. But come be a part. Come be together. The Lord will bless you here in the preaching, teaching, and instruction of the Word of God going out. And then the Lord will bless you when you crack open that Bible at home and take a look at it. You take a look and look into the Word of God and come to services, come to Sunday school, come to the devotion at the beginning of Sunday school, when we sing the choruses, when Brother Bobby reads a devotion, and when we come together and meet together, you come with a question that you've dug out of the Word of God, and you know what the Lord might do? He might answer it in the teaching and in the preaching. You get an opportunity to ask a brother and sister in Christ, what do you think about this? Maybe the Lord will give you the answer that way. But if we don't, we won't. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you from the standpoint of salvation, and then this comforter upon the church, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know why we need a comforter? Why does the church need a comforter? What's a comforter? Well, a comforter is when you sit down there and you're going to watch a movie and you get that thing you put on, you get kind of cozy there. Got comforter on a bed, right? And it makes you all toasty and warm when it's 20 degrees outside. A comforter, don't you hate it when the definition of word uses the same? It comforts us. When the Lord was with his church on this earth, he picked up the slack of what the disciples didn't get or understand, right? He corrected them when they needed correcting. He encouraged them when they needed encouraging. He taught them when they needed instruction. You know why? Because the world didn't get the church, did they? The world just doesn't understand the church. The world does not understand the Lord Jesus Christ New Testament Baptist Church. The world doesn't understand it. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord has bid us to serve him and plow forward and herald the gospel and herald the word of God. And he knows that we need a comforter from him. And he's done that. That same spirit that dwells within in the church, the Spirit of God does that comforter, that work of the comforter. And he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And coming in the Spirit and that work of the Comforter, or when he comes one day. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Because I live, we live. Because he lives, we are going to live. You without Jesus Christ, will you live? If you don't have the way, the truth, and the life, you won't live. You need Jesus. Verse number 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Unity because of the Lord. What day? At that day? That day when we see him again, when he comes back. Faith will be changed into sight. And we will understand and know all those things that are a mystery to us now. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments, that's us with the Word of God, and keepeth them, that's what we need to do, he it is that loveth me. We've got them. Do we keep them? Church, we show that love for him when we do. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. That progressive sanctification, yield ourselves to that which the Lord has commanded us to do, and we will have more revealed unto us. If we don't do the basic, we can't expect no more. If we can't do that which the Lord instructs the child of God and the one that he's placed in his church, those basic things, those beginning things, if we don't do that, we won't have any more. Are you growing? Have you grown from this time last year? Do an evaluation. He that hath my commandments, verse 21, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest, show myself unto him, to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How is it that you're going to show yourself to us and not reveal yourself unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If a man love me, he will keep what I say, my words. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. It's by obeying the word of God. Obedience is the very best way to show that you and I believe. Sinner without salvation, without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the same thing goes to you. You know what the command is? That you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. That's the command. That's the command. That you see that therein is life. That Jesus Christ is the only way, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. That there is only salvation in him, and that the revealing of God comes through what he has said. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the way that it is. So very simple indeed. Jesus answered, said unto him, verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And we need to find out what those words, the chorus that we sang Sunday morning for this month, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The contrary of that, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might obey thee. Amen? That we might obey the Lord. We need his word, what he has said. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. You want the love of the Father on you? Shake your head, yes. You do, because without it, we have no hope. We're doomed. And my Father will love him, and he will come unto him. We will come unto him and make our place of living with him, our abode. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which has sent me. If you love me, keep my words. Don't love me? Don't. Love me? And I and the Father will come live with you. I'll reveal myself unto you more. Don't keep my commandments. Show that you don't love me. We'll have no abode with you. Plain and straight. Verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but he was sent with the word of the Father, but the Father which sent me. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, yet being yet present with you, because he's going away, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We need the Word of God in us. I've been beating on that point here for a while, and that chorus that we sing in the morning. We need the Word of God in us, so the Spirit of God has got something in there to bring back to remembrance. Because nothing can be brought back to remembrance that ain't in there to start with. Yes, we need the Word of God. You that are without Jesus Christ, you need to know salvation is in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's all that it is. It's in Jesus Christ. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. What did he say at the beginning of the chapter? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in God. Peace I leave with you, verse 27. My peace I give unto you. It's the only real peace that there is peace from God. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. He's going away. He's going to be with the Father. He's going to send the Comforter. And then one day when he comes back, we'll understand it all. It'll all be put together for us. We'll be able to see how it is and not only believe how it is, but we'll be able to see it. We'll be able to witness it. We'll be able to experience it. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again to you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. What's he doing? It's time for him to depart at the order of the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is obeying the Word of God. And whenever the Word of God is obeyed, there should be rejoicing. You see, that's the reason he says that. He said, if you understood how the Father has ordered it to be, me telling you that I'm going away, you would be saying, hallelujah, praise God. Because one more step, one more point of obedience, one more fulfilling of what God has commanded is being fulfilled. Obedience. Obedience as the Lord has commanded us to be. He said, if you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. The implication is I need to obey him. He is over me. Jesus is over us, and we need to obey him. And you know what? We need to obey him as a church, and we need to obey him as children. Are we? Sinner, without the Lord Jesus Christ, without salvation on your soul, you need to obey him too. You simply need to obey him. Repent and believe. Believe. Verse 29, and now I have told you before it come to pass, I'm telling you these things in advance, that I'm going away from you, that I'm sending the Comforter to you, that I will come back. I will not leave you comfortless in the meantime. That you need to love me by obeying me and my word. You need to hear what I say. You need to take it to heart. You need to operate on it as individuals, as a church. I'm telling you, before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. What is it when prophecy is fulfilled? We say, yes, God is true. Amen? Right? When the Lord says something and then it comes to be the truth, we praise the Lord in it. Amen? Yeah, it gives us confidence. It gives us confidence and faith in him. And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. He said, I've fulfilled everything. Satan cannot do a thing to me. This is on the way. As we've seen with the Passover lamb that's penned up from the 10th day to the 14th day, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm done with being penned up. I'm going to the sacrifice. Satan can't even touch me. He has nothing in me. Verse 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. I'm going to go give my life, my soul, an offering for sin. I'm going to shed my blood for my children. I'm going to fulfill that sacrificial, that atoning work that the Father has given me to do, because I love him. Because I love him, I'm going to go do it. Yes, Jesus loves those that he has died for to save. But the Lord just told us there, he's going to give himself on Calvary because he's been instructed to do so of his Father, and he's going to go do it because he loves his Father. How much do you and I love our Father? How much do you and I love our Savior? Sinner, do you see the love of the Lord for sinners like you that are desperately wicked and sinful and on your way to hell? Do you see that he loves sinners enough to obey his Father to give his life for sinners like you? Will you repent? Won't you believe? Children of God, Oh, look at the great salvation that our Savior has provided for us. Consider the Father that gave His Son for us. I wouldn't give my Son for you. That's just being honest. But the Lord did. The Lord did. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Listen, arise, let us go hence. And the Lord is talking about, let us pick up from this place, that upper room, and let us go on over to the garden at Gethsemane, where I'm going to yield myself to the hands of wicked sinners. Well, I submit to you this morning, may the Lord help us. Let us arise and go hence, and let us go in the way of truth and in the way of life. What did Jesus Christ say in verse number 6? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Let us go hence in the way of truth and life, which is Jesus Christ. Not religion, not a denomination, not a practice, but a person, God's own Son.